Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I'm your host, Kyle, and joining me tonight, we've got Cleo, co-host of the Humanity Series, and Vanta Trading's Baba Yaga is back from vacation. I think tonight we're going to be talking about boredom. I think you wanted to look at the positive aspects of being bored in trading, which is kind of interesting. I was kind of expecting it the other way around, like how to fight boredom. But
I want to do both.
Okay, this should be a good one. We might talk a little bit about Roaring Kitty's return, too, if we have some time. After that, recap the week and the good, bad, and ugly. We're wrapping up some new bold. Oh my god, who was on vacation
doing
last
great.
Week? after that, we'll wrap up our week and the good, bad, and ugly for. Oh, that's why I said. God damn. Okay, one more time. After that, we'll recap our week and the good, bad, and ugly before wrapping up with some new bold predictions. And speaking of which, we should check on the. Here's Bravo. Speaking of which, we should check in on those after we give everyone a chance to plug and promote themselves. Baba Yaga, please rescue me.
I'm here. I'll take care of you, Kyle. Come rest in my bosom.
Oh my god.
It's okay. Right here. Right here. Comfortable. A good manly hug.
I have to leave all that in.
Oh man. What do I want to promote? I don't know. I tell you what. I'd say if you have listened to this podcast and not come and hung out with us on a Friday, although this Friday was not super exciting in the morning, but I think if you haven't come and spent some time hanging out, you should. So come do it. Jump in to the Discord. Every Friday's free Friday. We hang out on the other side. And yeah, unmute, say hello, chat. It's a good time. I mean, I'd love to see more people take advantage of that.
It's not just Friday morning, too. We got M period Friday afternoon. We've got the recordings here Friday evening. So it's like all day Friday.
Yeah, Friday. It's just a bonanza.
Bonanza. Nice. Cleo, what about you? You got anything you want to promote?
I mean, not really. The one thing I'm seeing on my desk here are these Trader Joe's chocolate almond butter cups. And they're delicious.
Trader Joe's.
I want to promote those. Yeah, I'm dairy free, so mostly when I have chocolate, like when you have like peanut butter, almond butter cups, they're just better with chocolate, like milk chocolate. Yeah. But this is a dark chocolate almond butter cup, and it's phenomenal. And I'm a super snob when it comes to peanut butter and almond butter cups, and the Trader Joe's really shows up for this almond butter cup. So I just wanted to bring that. It beats the Reese's by far. Yes, yes, yes.
Shout out to my dairy-free people, you know?
I might have to be making myself dairy-free. I can't have ice cream anymore, apparently.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you guys are lucky these are remote.
I've got a good recommendation for dairy-free ice cream. Most of it is crap, but there's a really good one.
Yeah, I think I'd rather just deal with the consequences.
Yeah, I know.
But I will reach out to Trader Joe's and see if they want to sponsor an episode. You never know, right?
Also, Trader Joe would be a great Twitter account handle for someone. I'm sure someone maybe has it, but if they don't,
probably exists.
Someone should be it. Trader Joe and post like, you know, trading content. That's a great idea.
It's got to be that. Let's see. As far as the show goes, next week we've got a guest episode, the follow-up with Andrew, which I am excited to release. I think we've all been enjoying those conversations with Andrew.
At least the two of us have.
I've been getting a lot of really good feedback from the listeners, so I think we're going to end up doing is a new mini-series with that when the economics for traders wraps up. Also, I need to say thank you to Retail Capital for shouting us out on the last Trade with Retail episode. I did send him a little audio file for his next episode, so make sure you check out when that releases. They come out on Thursdays, I believe, so next one should be on the 13th.
Nice.
And then our chart watch. Uruguay back in the lead at number 27 in investing, but don't count out Slovenia yet. They were up to 28 this week. Germany, Sweden, Ireland dropping off, so they need to tell all their Euro friends to download the show. Austria, Romania also in danger of dropping out of the top 250. Remember, we will do something special for the first country to chart us at number one in any category. I have no idea what that's going to be yet. Maybe it'll be a video. Maybe we'll do an homage to your country. Maybe we'll come visit you. I don't know.
Ooh.
No, probably not that. I don't know if I'm allowed to travel. No, please drop us a line, bandittraderspodcast@gmail.com or Twitter at financialinept1. Tell us your story. Trading is always better with friends, as Dan used to say. We should probably check in with those ongoing predictions before we move on to the topics. Most recently, we had Trump winning the election, even though the trial did not go favorably.
And it's not that bold, but it's still a prediction.
I mean, I'd say it's probably 50-50. I mean,
yeah.
Right?
Good one. I think it is 50-50, yeah. Kyle.
I got, Cleo is going to pass us on Twitter by the end of the year. What is she sitting at right now? I forgot to look. One second while I pull that. 24. Oh, damn. Woo-hoo. Almost doubled since the last episode. Yeah, keep that up. This won't be an end of year prediction. Great. This will be end of summer.
We'll keep doubling for sure.
Let's see. We also got Mavs. They're currently in the final, but Boston looks really strong. I don't know if we're going to win that prediction of the Mavs winning the finals. NQ doesn't trade below 18K till the election. Baba saying 716 before the election, just to be contrarian.
I'll look back at that. Ugh.
One of us should be right.
We
had one we can take off the list. Baba predicted last month would be your best month since turning pro. Do you have an update for us on that one?
Yeah, I would say affirmative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full. So,
Oh, that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
I should put money on you.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Nice
thank
job,
you.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since November, not best month like ever, anything like that. But
I said since turning pro.
Yeah, since November of 2023.
If I had known you were going on vacation, I might have been a little, what's the word, more conservative with that. Because you took like the last week of June or May off.
And I did. Still managed to I hit did. That. I traded twice on vacation.
Were your vacation trades better than your day trades normally are?
One was just one of the Top Step X $5 deal things that I've just had sitting in there. So it was kind of a click it and then whatever happened. I checked back later, like literally went to the beach and then came back. It was either going to be daily profit target or daily loss target. I didn't really care. So, but anyway, fortunately it was daily profit target. So, and then, the other was on a regular account and I just traded it small. It was just a decent setup at 8:30 setup, pretty clean. You know, I said if on vacation I had a pre-market setup, I'd take it. So
nailed it.
Yeah. That was a good, it's good, man. It's good. It's a good, it's a good month. A lot of good work.
I still want to know how. You sent a bunch of pictures of some sharks when you guys were out there that you guys were catching. It looked like off of the shore. Was that the same spot you guys were swimming? Did anybody else put that together?
I constantly was like, guys, what the? What is this right now, bro? So as soon as the sun set, we had some bait. We weren't fishing for sharks particularly. We were fishing for... I wanted to catch something we could eat. That was like redfish or some type of drum or flounder or whatever. But we had a handful of folks that were down there with us fishing. And one of the guys was he's a senior in high school. So he put on like a pretty big piece of bait and threw it out. And I mean, we had been swimming 200 yards maybe down the shore from where we were fishing. I'm not kidding. This bait hits the water, gets to the bottom or whatever. He clicks it over, sets it in the rod holder. We turn around to talk. We're like, oh, man, this is going to be fun. The rod starts taking the line so aggressively that it pulls the rod holder over and the rod and reel out into the surf. And, like, I run out and grab the fishing pole from the water, pull it back in, give it to the guy. And that was like a 38-inch shark. And I was like, what are we doing getting in this water, dude? And we caught like five or six more that like back to back to back to back. It was a little awkward to get.
A little nerve-wracking.
Did you see any when you were swimming?
I never saw any when I was swimming. Although I saw for the first time while I was swimming like a, is it a school? I don't know if, what are they called?
The things
that look like stingrays. They look like birds almost. Yeah. I saw
like a manta.
A ray, but a smaller, like not a huge thing. Yeah. But there were probably like six or eight of them all together swimming like right where I was about to be walking. And they look like birds when they swim in the water. Mm. I'd never seen them swim like other than reeling them in on a fishing line. I'd never seen them in their natural state, and it was actually like really cool to watch them. Mm-hmm. they just like float and it looks like they're flying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah,
it's
just in the water.
Water's just a lot denser.
Yeah, so
I mean, even the submarine had wings.
Yeah, so I saw that. It was really cool. I called the kids over. I was like, look right here. So yeah, it's a good time.
Don't get too close.
Yeah, don't stomp on them.
What if I do this? We should probably move on and get into the first topic here.
Let's do it.
Cleo, do you want to introduce this one since it was your baby?
I'm excited about this topic. I think for me, it goes back actually a couple of years. I heard a podcast. I don't remember what it is, but these two guys were talking about how important it is to develop a strategy that is easy and where you're like relatively bored while trading it. Mm-hmm. And that's really stuck with me. Like, okay, so we're not after heightened sensation. And it's a kind of a weird thing because for many of us traders, especially as we begin, but I think even as we size up or whatever shift it is, it can be nerve-wracking and it can be sensational.
and exciting and fun and like so many feelings. But then it's also, I mean, even if you're not striving for boredom like me, like I'm trying to have my strategy be more and more boring. I've been working that for a couple years, even though I also value play and fun and all of that. But I don't want to be caught in high sensation, because when that's the case, I think I make bad choices.
Yeah.
So we're, as traders, we're in this field where there's the potential for such exciting moments and high sensation, and then utter boredom while we're waiting there, not doing anything. Like this morning, I was just staring at the market for like 45 minutes before doing anything. And that was aligned with my strategy. And then finally, I just got off the call. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I got to go do something else with my life, you know, until, you know, then I set an alarm and then I'm back in. Okay, it hits a level. Like now I'm interested again. But I see you, Baba, every day. I mean, I'm not there every day, but I see you when I'm there. You look chill. I know you're maybe looking at different screens. You're making moves. I don't know what your inner state is, like if you've reached a place of just kind of like ease generally, but sometimes I'm like, even when I'm in a trade or waiting, I'm doing various things on my phone. I play a game on my phone that kind of keeps me present. But I just think that the topic of boredom is not really something I've heard people talk much about. So there's like a lot to it. So that's what I've wanted to talk to you actually for a couple months about boredom.
So
maybe that's a lot. Awesome. That's a lot of context, but maybe just curious how all this lands with you so far.
With me, or with
yeah, Kyle? with both of you, but with you. Let's start with you, Baba.
Yeah, start with the guy who knows what he's doing.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see about that. So I definitely agree with the idea of the extreme highs, extreme lows as not being a good thing. Mm-hmm. So tempering ourselves somewhere in the middle. I used to get a lot more excited, a lot more verbal, probably physically, like more, you know, oh man, look at this. Like a couple years ago, I think part of that was the surprise of like the, literally like the surprise and the elation of like being right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. You know, I think that as time passes, that side of it, it's not new anymore. It's not like, it is exciting sometimes, I guess, but it's not like, it's the same thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the same thing every single day, the same four or five charts to get the day started. And then
you spend outside a lot of time drawing on the charts and doing things to keep yourself just like busy. Like yeah, I'm doing that all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have things that I'm like, we'll check on periodically. So, but I think just to the point of the highs and lows, you know, last month being like, you know, a good month and, kind of encouraging to me in some ways. And really the last, I don't know, 6 weeks, or I guess it's probably more like 10 weeks or so now, of like things settling out for me and kind of being in a state that even if externally, maybe in like January, February, in the first part of March, it wasn't visible on my face or whatever. I know I spoke about some of the challenges and you guys experienced some of the, you know, some of the not so good, but even in that, you know, there's a balance of that, just understanding, trying to give myself some slack that I'm learning how to deal with a new way of doing this with this expectation and pressure and whatever. So all of that to say, whether things are going poorly, whether things are going great on the macro, like month over month, or even intraday in a moment, I really think that your comment about you make better decisions when you're steady, or like when you relax, I think that's so true. I think that's true for me. I think most people would make better decisions if they were able to be in a more.
That we're making them out of emotions.
If they weren't making them from a place of heightened emotion, they were making them from a place of like cognitive recognition and we use that phrase precedent. Like I have precedent to pull the trigger here, so it's just time to do the thing. Mm-hmm. So I completely agree with that and resonate with that.
I'd like to, just to your point of like the emotions and the being exciting when it's new, like how much of that do you think is just time with it?
I think that's a big part of it. I also think,
because it gets exciting again when you size up. And I think that's why so many people have trouble with that. Or when you circumstances change and it's not for fun anymore and it's suddenly for, you know, the rent money, then circumstances have changed.
Yeah, I think that is a part of it. And learning, I think so any circumstantial change, mm-hmm. whether it's expectations or whether it's your sizing, I think bring with it a new, like you're now learning again. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember, I think that it's easy. Let's say you've achieved a certain measure of success in a given, 1 second. My dog's just like freaked out and ran away, but their feet were really loud. Say you've achieved a certain measure of success in a given environment. If that environment is a certain lot size, if that environment is a certain product, if that environment is a certain amount of pressure or lack of pressure, expectation, what you have to do. When you've kind of planed off there and then something changes, I anticipated last year that the change would free me up. I would have a little more time. I would have less distractions and I would excel exponentially. Mm-hmm. Right. I did not account for the pressure and stress affecting my ability to just continue to do what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think of it as I need to relearn. It took mm-hmm. a month, 2 months to actually think about, almost humble myself in a way and say like, I need to relearn this, which sounded ridiculous to say out loud in the moment as I was thinking through it. But the reality was I needed to relearn because it wasn't comfortable, settled, laid back as it felt internally before.
Mm-hmm. And the relearning, is it relearning the state or the, because you already have your strategies, you know what you trade. I mean, of course, you're always improving and always looking at new things, but
I'm a dabbler.
What's the relearning that you needed to do?
I think it's being acquainted with, for me, it was acquainted with the additional stress and expectation. Because before, like the expectation, there was really not a lot of expectation or stress. You know, I'm just doing this along with drawing, a salary, a full-time job, benefits, blah, 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 blah. Like there's no pressure to, like, if I make nothing, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, and I'm not going to lose so much that it matters. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not going to damage my family. So it was like kind of carefree. In that way, and that is all it had ever been. Mm-hmm. So then you change the entire emotional side, I think, and the internal piece when all of a sudden now this is for real, even though nothing about the market changed and really nothing about me changed, but boy, it really affected my ability to take in information, to make decisions like I would normally make, to do it all. To some extent. And again, it wasn't like crash, burn, zero, but it was, oh, this feels like I'm doing this all over again for the first time. Like, what the heck? I'm having to. And so when I finally realized, I think the learning piece was learning to look at the stress and expectation, acknowledge it for what it was, but then also take that and set it over here because that really isn't going to benefit mm-hmm. my ability to perform. I need to have a slight awareness of it, and that's about it. And that allowed me to kind of then free myself up to settle back in and kind of almost get reacquainted with what does it feel like to be, you know, successful to some extent, mm-hmm. Consistently successful to some extent.
I don't want to go too far into this unless it's interesting because I have follow-up questions here. Like, okay. When you talk about taking it, the pressure, and putting it off to the side, that's amazing. And how did you do that? Was that a conscious process? I remember you had a kind of pivotal conversation with your wife at one point on your porch. I remember hearing about that. Like, was it, you're aware of it, right? Like this pressure beast, I think many of us can relate to in different moments of like, okay, there's a press, there's a pressure. And how do we deal with that? It's almost like a demon or something. Like,
goddamn expectations.
Yeah. Like, is that pressure still off to the side? Can you dip into it sometimes? Like, what's your relationship to that pressure these days? Or is it just like normalized and you're not feeling it anymore at all?
Well, so I think a couple of things deflated it a little bit. So, well, it was two things. So one thing highlighted it, and then one thing began to deflate it pretty dramatically. It was pretty fast paced deflation of that. So the thing that highlighted it was when I was, and I've mentioned this before, when I was listening, when 2 Year Flipper was on our podcast, and I'm listening to him talk, and he's trading monstrous size for me to even comprehend, like,
yeah, I know,
swinging what he was swinging, I was like, yo, that is wild. Now he has a strategy for it, fantastic. Like, he's all good, but the way he talked about his decision making, it sounded familiar to me.
That no questioning, like it was just see this.
Yeah, the way
this.
he was so specific. He was so pointed and clear on like what he's doing every day, why he's doing it, how he's doing it, and there wasn't really a like, well, what if, like, well, what if that doesn't work today, or what if I lose that trade, or what, like that was. Mm-hmm. It was just like, he's just going right. There was this calm. It wasn't overconfidence, which was just this settled nature about how he communicated about what he does. And all I could think of was like, I used to know that guy.
In yourself.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh man, I remember what that felt like, but I didn't feel that way. And it wasn't, and again, it's not like my ability to do everything just went to zero, but I didn't feel like that. Like I wasn't able to, I guess, like tap into that as readily. And so that made me aware that like we have some work to do. We have some work to do because we have all of that, but we haven't been able to really settle into it consistently. There are little streaks, little runs of that, but without having the words for it or the awareness of it, I wasn't really super clear on the deal. So that was huge.
So you were able to to hear this conversation and remember that in yourself and get back on track.
Well, so that exposed it. And then I was like, you know, there's actually I have made a few changes in how I'm approaching the market and some entry condition scenarios that are a little bit more trying to like fine tune them a little bit. And I had not done some of the work I knew I needed to do that would give me the confidence to be able to say the things like he was saying. So
right.
For me, I know like I have a certain setup that is going to happen right around between 8:30, usually between 8:30 and 8:50. Generally speaking, it's kind of along like a time-based kind of setup. It usually aligns really well with news, blah, 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 blah. We can talk about it, whatever. I don't care. But the point is, I had an idea that there was edge there in an entry and in this specific scenario. How far was it supposed to go? On average, how far against me should it go if I'm right, but it's I'm early or something? What are the implications if it goes further than the average move? Mm-hmm. And then what can the expectations be after that for, say, the next certain amount of time? Those were things that I had observed, but I had not put pen to paper on at least a large part of some of my key approaches as of late to really get that down to like, I'm really comfortable pulling the trigger here because I know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
I know experientially what to expect, but I didn't have the data for that.
Yeah.
And so the conversation with him made me aware of like, I got a little bit of work to do. But I don't think I would have been able to articulate the work that I needed to do or the specifics of kind of what I felt like was a little bit off until I heard that. And it was like, it resonated like immediately. I was like writing stuff down. It was super helpful. So yeah, I mean, it wasn't immediate. It gave me like a clarity or a perspective that then I began to move towards, you know?
Yeah. Do you remember what that episode is? I would love to. I haven't heard that
one. I've got it made. I made a note. I'll make sure it gets linked great. In the description.
Yeah. It was
that's
a good
the first
time.
One, right?
It was the first one. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh. And you know, it's not like, again, like, it's not like that. It's not like Banks doesn't communicate with authority and specificity and confidence and all that. It's not like Flaherty doesn't communicate that way. It's not like Kyle, that you don't communicate that way at times with your trading, especially with the progress you've made over the last, you know, 8 months, 10 months, whatever. Like, it was just the way that landed in those moments for me was like,
dude, there was no question when he talked. You could.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just like it was like a stone wall. I mean, it was just like, you know, boom, like that's it. So that was huge. And then the other piece that so that was the piece that made me kind of aware. The other piece of like that freed me up from that stress and gave me the capacity to kind of navigate it a little bit better. And I haven't really talked about this like public, it's whatever. Like, it's fine now. I think it was fine then, but I just didn't want to be that personal. So I just talked to my wife about this whole venture. I felt like I'd underperformed. I mean, it wasn't felt like I had underperformed. I felt like my family was depending on me to, you know, to really not underperform. And I felt that I was, and I perceived like some pressure and expectation from my family. And without any words, like in a total unfair way, a little bit like I was worried what my wife thought about this journey that we had started in November.
You're almost projecting some insecurities onto her.
Yeah. So I just looked at her and I was like, if you aren't with me in this, if you're not for me, then like, I'll just quit. That's literally, I mean, I've talked to Kyle about this in private. I was like, I would rather that than like you like at all harbor any kind of like ill will or frustration if you have any. And she'd not given me any reason to think that. This I've lived with like a saint. She's amazing, right? But I worried about it. Yeah. I worried like, man, I wonder what like is she, you know, is she with me like for real?
So you needed to know that from her.
And we'd had conversations in the past about it. We had a conversation when we started this whole thing in November. And she's like, yeah, like, let's go, whatever. And she has not and never did say like, hey, this isn't exactly what I thought it was going to be so far. Or like, you know, hey, let's pick this up. I thought we were going to go up when you started doing this. And we've kind of went like flat or like the other way a little bit. From like your casual dealings in this. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but I promise I'm working really hard, you know, kind of one of those conversations, right. Like, and risk for her just personality wise, like she could not navigate this, like trading, clicking a button, seeing a stop loss hit. None of that. Like she is the opposite of whatever personality that is. And so she understands it to the extent that she understands what I do, but she just is not wired up for this type of thing or like entrepreneurial risk taking and stuff like that. Not her forte.
All of this has me more and more excited to talk to her. I know we have a potential episode coming up. Talking to both of your wives, actually.
That's right.
Yeah. So I said that and she was like, no, I'm all about it. I've never thought that you wouldn't figure this new journey out. Like, I never thought that. I never doubted. I didn't doubt and I don't doubt that you will get where you want to go as far as with the consistency and, you know, kind of getting back to what is comfortable and all that. She just completely dispelled any myth of her – like looking at her watch being like, it's about time for this to kind of really blow up now. Right. And, you know, for me, that was like rocket fuel. And that really was the genesis of like you know, the handful of weeks that everything just seemed to start to settle out. And I was able to take all that stress and pressure to the point of this kind of little deviation from boredom and just slide it to the side. I was like, I'm not worried about it. So I'm not worried about it because she's not worried about it.
It's amazing what just a little bit of encouragement will do to your self-confidence or your motivation.
Yeah. Just
that's what I love about you guys. You guys are so encouraging.
Well, yeah, totally. So that was the two people, and they I've reached out the 2 year and made sure he was aware that was, you know,
a pivotal moment. It seems like there's three components to that moment. It's 2 year flipper conversation and getting really impacted by that one conversation. There's doing a bunch more back testing work that you needed to do. And then there's this encouragement from your wife. Like, you needed all of these.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't like to think of myself like a person who needs anything from anybody, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, I don't need someone to believe in me. I don't need someone to encourage me, like bring the world.
It still feels good when it happens.
I know, but my natural self wants to believe, like, bring the world and I'll take it all on. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So cute.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So sweet. Right. But that's the way, like, that's the way I'm wired up. And I think part of that comes from sports, like a sports background. I played basketball. I was always one of the shortest. I was always one of the slowest, but I was also, like, you know, I was able to perform in that environment because, like, I'd had the drive, like I wanted it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think a little bit of that wiring just comes from experiences that I've, you know, had, like, through things like that. But the reality is that, like, I think that dogged determination is a big part, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, what it takes to succeed here. But I also think, like, you need some support and you need to be self-aware enough to know that, like, you need some encouragement every so often. I mean, that's Banks Absolutely. And I's relationship for the last 6 or 7 or 8, however many years it's been, you know, that's a big part of it. If I have a bad day, like, I don't try to explain it to my wife. It's not even going to make sense to her. She's not even going to be able to dial it up, you know?
Yeah.
But I can call Banks and be like, dude, what the heck? And explain, like, here's what I did. Here's the screenshots. This is where I think things went south, you know? And then we work on it. And then obviously there's some encouragement, some challenging and all that kind of thing. But I think you have to have that determination. You have to be confident in yourself and your abilities, but you still need, like, you need somebody in your corner or somebodies, you know?
I imagine that this kind of diffusing of pressure, like when there's pressure that comes, it might have to happen at every moment that it comes. Like whenever there's a new, like if there's a scaling up that happens or, you know, okay, now I'm going to be dependent on the income from trading and there's a new pressure or there's a different circumstance, right? There's going to be some process of needing to, like, get right with it again to be able to do it from a place of centeredness and not high sensation and right. Anxiety or pressure or whatever.
That is. And I think the awareness of that is such a big piece. Like I talked to a lot of guys before making the decision to do this, in November, guys that were, I mean, like, there were people that were gracious enough to give me time who should have never given me time. People that traded, like, old floor traders and just some people who've got it going on, you know? And I reached out to them, was like, hey, here's where I am. Here's what I'm thinking. And they're almost every one of them said, how confident are you in your process? And I was like,
right.
100,000,000%. Are you kidding me? Like, hello. You know who you're talking to here?
I snap 100 point runners, bitch.
Yeah, maybe. And then the funny thing was, though, I think what they were attempting to articulate was yes, how confident are you in your process? But I think also, like, how settled are you just in, like, all of it? Like, the whole mm-hmm. thing. The whole thing.
You mean the emotional part of it? Or what else is in the. Okay.
Yeah,
like a trader.
Yes, not just the technical. I think they leaned on that side of it, but I think the implication, without saying it, was also the complete package. Not just
how comfortable are you?
Yeah, the whole deal. Yeah, how comfortable are you with your process? Not just how confident are you in your technical ability? And I kind of didn't really pick that up. And I don't know if they consciously put that in there or if that was just subconsciously them communicating. But how confident are you in that process or in your ability to execute in these circumstances regularly, I think would have more fully captured what they were getting at. And they were 100% right. And I
with was, relative ease, right? Yeah. How confident are you with your process with relative ease?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the real advice then is probably if you think you're ready for it, take 10x of your normal size and go see if you can still make money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's going to simulate the environment you're basically stepping into, right?
Yeah. Or do something to change the pace. If you always trade privately behind your own screen and no one's watching, you know what you could do to change that is whoever you trade with, just start streaming yourself.
Yeah.
That's a way to simulate pressure. And here's the funny thing, dude. This is why I thought like 10 foot tall and bulletproof. We started way back with U-Trade, like in 2023. Mm-hmm. In January, and I had been in rooms trading with guys, talking through the market, things like that. I'd never screen shared and been live in front of a group of people and traded live until January 2023, as far as my entries and exits being on display. And I thought nothing of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and people were like, if trading in the room affects your ability to do blah, 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 then like totally don't share your screen, just do your own thing. And I was like, I don't care who sees what I'm doing.
Right.
And it really was, there was no big adjustment period. It didn't bother me. I didn't care. And, you know, I think January, February, March, and then April, I had like my best trading month of my whole trading career in April 2023. And 4 months after going on display with my stuff. And so when I was thinking about this whole deal, I was like, it'll just be like that. Like everyone's like, it's such a big deal. And I'm just going to swallow it like a drink of water. It's not going to bother me.
Well, and ultimately it is becoming that, right? It's just been maybe a little bumpier. Like it is getting easier, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I really think that pressure, stress, expectation, all of that, being able to just go, that's part of that is true. And part of that is absolutely fabricated. And living in the middle of that consciously every day, it's not going to improve my ability. Just like you mentioned with the heightened sensation thing, doesn't make you a great decision maker. Like that's exactly tons of stress and frustration of what I want and it not happening does not make me a good decision maker, you know, but being able to go, hey, okay, so take that. It is what it is, but we still got a job to do. So let's get in here and we're going to trade either way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to trade either way. So why not just trade from a place of confidence and comfort and ease. And if the market makes it easy, let it be easy. And if the market's not going to let it be easy, take a few stops and then let the market be a butthole and I'll wait till later.
Yeah.
You know, like I, like most of RTH, like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday was just, or maybe Thursday, Friday, you know, they were not, for me, giving me easy stuff. Yeah, so I took a few shots where there were shots to take, but they weren't making it easy, and I'm not trying to fight them about it. I'm just not going to sit here and fight. So I'll take, I feel like I harped on that this week. Like, you know, I'll pay $120 to find out right now, but if they're not going to give it to me, then they can have my $120. And if they are going to give it to me, then I'll build into a position as we go where I want us to go. And it'll be fine. But if they're going to be silly about it, they'll be silly to me about it to the tune of $400, $500, $600. They're not going to be silly to me to the tune of $2,000 or $3,000.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen. And I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. The email again, SPULLEN@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Look at Banks in the chat.
What is he?
It says we need a new RTH asshole meter before trading. Bear says that talking about trading in front of a group of people that encourages his best behavior. It's something that Aaron said in a recent interview too. I felt the same thing. Like when I jumped on Biko's stream, I felt like I was trading probably the best I've ever traded.
Even taking screenshots, like this was my first week of showing, I think I posted 2 screenshots of my trades this week, and it was the first time that I've ever done that in the trading chat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
Yeah. And like I remember even just getting on mic in the trading room, and the first time I did it, it's like, okay, I'm leaning into this and I'm holding myself accountable and there's other eyes on what I'm doing. And like, I was ready for that, and it's good. And it feels like an investment.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Oh,
and
yeah.
There's momentum.
And whatever, one of the other thoughts that has been, and you'll probably like this, Cleo, this is like right up your alley, I think, at least. Like I said, I'm going to trade either way. I mean, to some extent, I'm going to trade either way. So I can trade from a place of, I hope this trade goes okay. I hope this month is great. I want to be successful. And I have all these thoughts like that. I can like hold on to that and trade with one hand wrapped around that. Or, you know, we really can, through some work and some conversations and some awareness, we can just not hold on to that. Mm-hmm. Like we do have the ability to let go of that and just trade free, like without hanging on to it. It's not at the front of our mind. It's not on the tip of our, it's not right at the forefront. And the thought I've had is like free. Like I want to be free. I want to continue to feel the free feeling, the comfortable, that we use a lot of words like, when trading is easy, when trading's enjoyable, when trading's not exciting.
It's not being a butthole.
Yeah. Like I want to approach it when I can be free with it, you know? And so when I take a few stops and it's like, why y'all being like that today? You know, I don't have to keep fighting. Like, I don't have to go grab the performance box and bring that to the front of the table and be like, well, what is this going to mean for the day? Or, oh, what is this going to mean? Like, I don't have to go to that well of stress. and like grip that anchor. I can just leave that over there, fight with them or not fight with them.
Can I share an epiphany I had this week, actually?
An apostrophe?
An epiphany. It's kind of tied along the same lines. I was experimenting around with like drawing lines on charts while doing replay, and I was liking it. It was easy in the moment, or in the replay moment, but I was asking myself the question, like, why do I struggle doing this when it's a live environment? And with all the work that we've been doing with Andrew and like the trying to build awareness of those voices that are in your head, like I very clearly heard one come out and say, if we aren't staring at the charts with laser intensity, we're going to miss opportunities. And then I had to have an argument with them and say, well, I don't think that's true, dude, because we just did this replay of a day we've never seen before. We felt free and we saw multiple opportunities, and we actually saw it clearer than we've ever seen anything before. Like, we took a long up into a spot where we saw the short form. We flipped around. We took the short there. We got the back test of the box that we were drawing out. We had all these beautiful, like, levels marked out. And then fast forward the rest of the day, and, like, the high that was, like, the turning point of the day, saying, like, oh, they didn't take this high, so then shorts are on board, and, you know, flipped over to that. But that same high that I had pointed out, like, later in the afternoon, that's the one that gets swept and then holds for the next 100-point move down. I mean, it was...
abundant opportunities.
Yeah. It was a beautiful moment in that I guess I'm going back to, like, when Andrew was talking about, like, when those voices are telling you, like, something. Like, is that true? Mm-hmm. I take this stop. That means I'm a loser. Wait a minute. Hang on. Is that true?
Well, I took, like, five today, so...
Yeah. Right? You know what I mean, though?
I just... when you're doing a replay like that, and you're able to set aside, I think.
There's no expectations because there's nothing on the line.
Exactly. But that's when you perform. And that's the whole conversation we just had about expectations and all of that. I mean, that was like times 1 million, just like a anchor all over me for, you know, the better part of 3 months. But to your point, exactly. When either through some real concerted effort to be like, okay, this has got to, I can't like with this. Mm-hmm. And you get that clarity, you have that one conversation, you get this awareness, you do a little bit of work, and you're able to kind of move towards where you perform the best mentally, that state like Cleo talked about this week or yesterday, able to settle into that. I think that's it, Kyle. It's like your ability to perform in that environment, the skill set is no different. It is quite simply those internal...
Can I turn off the other noise?
Yeah, those internal dialogues and maybe a slight measure of, I think, like wanting this like to work, like wanting it to be right, wanting to kind of get there. I think that's the, you know, those pieces are pieces that probably don't serve you as well as the, you know...
Well, they have a purpose, actually live trading, right? Like maybe there's a driver present that motivates us.
He had a good reason to not want to diddle on or draw on charts and like try to be aware of like other things besides just what the candle's doing, but it was a bad reason.
Yeah.
And I think we're able to negotiate that out of him.
The other thing is like you mentioned drawing on, like Cleo, you mentioned, or Kyle, you mentioned that I like draw on the charts a lot or like pull retracements, or I'm really measuring a range or something like that. I have found that the reason that I do that is one, because there's not a trade to take right in that moment, or at least it's not super clear to me what I need to do right then. But what I also know is there are a handful of things that I will look back at the end of a day and I'll go, oh man, how did I not notice that? Mm. How did I not notice that we only traded to, like, let's pick something. We traded... the low of this day was exactly to a level that I had outlined as really important. But as the day got going, I'm not looking at my notebook every so often. And I didn't realize that when that low was forming, how important I had already decided that area was. Maybe I had a line on there, maybe I didn't, something like that. So a lot of the trades that, or a lot of the things that I'll, times that I'll take a trade outside of like maybe my most core preferred trade entries, mm-hmm. will be tied to that, like
the inflow kind of analysis?
That inflow research, like I'm looking at this, okay, that like we just swept a 30-minute low and we, let's say we've already gained or held a low that matters that I didn't have any way to interact with or take part in because maybe there was no setup or it happened too fast or whatever. So then I'm measuring, I'm looking or whatever, and I notice, oh, well, you know, this is kind of, this spot makes a lot of sense based on what we've already done. So while I might have missed that opportunity earlier because there wasn't clarity there, I've noticed in the charts when I go back and look at days that very often this kind of thing unfolds. And here it is unfolding. Oh, we've retraced 50% of this move and we're trading into a 5-minute flag, you know, swing spot. And this is the last leg that they needed to hold. Whatever, like the trade Clio took today, that pullback into the high 20s or 32 or whatever it was, wasn't it?
I think mine was 19.
Oh, well, sorry. That area, right? Back into the OR again, into 17, previous all-time high, blah, blah, blah. We weren't on stream anymore at that point. Clio took that trade. I took that trade. I was pulling lines and, you know, dingling on the chart. And then I was like, oh, here we are again. Let's go. Like, if we're not going to go blowing through this, let's ride it again. So I think you should feel free to explore how the flow of the day is happening and not feel, I think the pressure to like catch the perfect trade is the opposite of what will serve you best.
Kind of makes me want to go through and watch the markets live without trading again. Like, I feel like I need another week of observation or something to build that habit or to basically remind myself that there's opportunities every day, like you don't have to catch every single one that you see.
Yeah.
You know? You don't have to force one when you don't see one either. Like, just wait, there'll be something better.
Track sensation while doing it.
Right.
Yeah. Big time.
So I used to do that. I used to do a week like every 3 months or so, and I haven't done one in a while. So I feel like it's probably time to do one of those. I did a little bit of it this week, so maybe I'll just carry it on for a little bit more.
Yeah. On just to that note, like the patience to be able to do that is that's big.
Yep.
The awareness of like, hey, I have a need, and I think there's humility in those kind of behaviors that's really healthy.
Well, we can talk more about that here in the good, bad, and ugly, but yeah. Before we do that, we're getting a little long on this one. I just want to quickly throw out, because it kind of ties into here. Did anybody watch Roaring Kitty's live stream today?
Nope. But Baba did raise his hand.
How can that guy sit through a $200 million drawdown on the day and look so calm?
I don't know. So I can tell you.
Like, that's the state I think we want to be in,
no,
right?
No, the state I want to be in is closing that issue. Well, yeah. When it was at $65 and be a billionaire and just call it good. No more risk needed. You know?
I mean, he's built up to this, right? He's gone through so many intense experiences.
How to lose $400 million in a day. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I think Banks messaged me and was like, this guy's an idiot. This guy's an idiot. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that to me strikes me as someone who's lost all the concept of money. Like, it doesn't matter to him anymore.
Well, I think
happened when you make $25 million.
I was going to say,
3 years ago.
I think part of it, his ability to do that has to be tied to the fact that he doesn't need this to work.
Doesn't need it anymore, yeah. No.
I mean, or he's totally willing to just YOLO, like, who cares?
Yeah, or it's just one of those guys and doesn't give a shit.
And he's being watched, too. Like, he's got an identity around this on some level, right? Like, he wants us to be having this conversation right now, you know?
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And good for him. And hey, while we're on the subject, the fact that there's scrutiny over him having these positions, taking these positions.
Oh, that pisses me off.
Really is annoying. He has the same rights to communicate about his perspective on the market as anyone else. If you look at like the way other...
Anytime a short seller takes a large position and they publish a report, they're publishing that report to get the reaction they want.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's not even doing it to that extent either. And if you go back and there's a guy in Vanta that probably wasn't even aware of Roaring Kitty way back when all of this first started the very first time, he was trading GameStop in a very cyclical fashion because he was a fan of GameStop. He was big into gaming, blah, blah, blah. really intricately familiar with the game release cycles and how that affects how that affected GameStop and the cycle of releasing new stuff and all that. And so he told me about stuff, and I started looking back back then, and like when Keith Gill would do, Roaring Kitty would do, like his live stream things, it was very much like just him talking about the thesis he had for his position. Yeah. It wasn't like, yep, let's go screw everybody, or, you know, no, I mean, it was just like, this is what I'm doing. This is why I think I'm doing it. And I just find it very distasteful that the talking heads on CNBC have, you know, this somewhat seeming disdain for him doing a live stream today or speaking about his position publicly and things like that. Like, they need something better to do with their time, because that's what every small fund manager does and every FinTwit head does all day anyways with their short positions and all of that. And it's just like,
something to talk about.
It's like, come on, guys, leave this dude alone.
Poor Roaring Kitty.
CP's asking, are you any surprised Unusual Whales hasn't done a breakdown of the entire thing? I think they did, or at least they broke down his entire like position and how he built it. There was something on Twitter that they had posted.
I wish I'd have bought $20 call options 3 months ago or whatever it was.
Is that how long ago we bought it? That's the other thing that doesn't make a whole lot of sense too, but we'll save that for another time.
Like, yeah.
If this is a 5-year play, why are you buying weeklies?
Yeah, I don't know. But
anyway, we should probably move on, do some good, bad, and ugly so we can wrap this thing up and get everyone to bed.
Let's do all it.
Who wants to go first?
Cleo, she's the newest kid on the block here with these round tables.
Kid goes first.
Yeah.
Do we get the hazer? Is that what we're doing?
I'm not trying to haze Cleo. I'm a big fan. I just want to hear. I already know a little bit probably what she's going to say, and I'm really excited for her.
Let's hear it.
So, okay. I think the major good for me this week has been my state while trading. Like, I think the parts work with Andrew, those conversations have really impacted me in good ways. And I've been working with my own voices in different ways. Like on the West Coast, sometimes I sleep until 7 or 7:05 or something. And I'm like, oh, my strategy starts at 6:45 a.m. I got to get in there. And I'm like, nope, it's not about that. It's about enjoying yourself and being chill. And it's okay. If you lost the opportunity, it's okay. There's going to be more.
I like
actually aligning to what the, like, how do I want to live? What's the state I want to be in? And that really, there's one thing that Andrew said in our most recent conversation around, like, who do you want to be in general in your life? And if you're trading, that's still who you are. And do you want to be a stress case or do you want to be yourself?
Right.
And I want to be me. And what's the right way to, like, what's the strategy that's going to fit that and the state that's going to fit that? So I feel like I'm really getting that in a good way, and it feels so good. So that's my good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been really.
I love that he keyed in on the playfulness too, because I feel like actually I need a little bit of that and
more play.
We're not joking around on the street. And I know we have to be kind of careful about, you know, you don't want to be making jokes when something important's happening, but when nothing's important's happening, you know, that's the time to kind of have some fun. We keep each other entertained. When we're joking around and having fun, we're not doing stupid trades, right?
Yeah. But
at least that's my thought process. But I've been kind of shying away from that a little bit. I like to lean back into that.
Bring back the play.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Have some fun.
So my bad. There was a day, maybe 3 days ago, I just took all the wrong trades. Like, it was still in my process. So I was still trading my process, but it was like I was picking the wrong ones to trade and like missing the opportunities. And it was just so frustrating. But I was still in my process with it, like not taking bad trades outside of my strategy, but then how I worked with it is like, yeah, some days are just like that. So ultimately it ended up being good, like how to work with the frustration of that. But I would prefer not to get to like a place of feeling destabilized while trading. And I did a few days ago. So I'm just like really tracking state. And there was a day or two this week that I felt that.
I love it when a bad turns into a good.
Yeah.
And then
that's the way it should be.
Yeah. And then ugly. I think the For You section on Twitter or X is just terrible. I really got slimed yesterday at like just by not by anybody saying anything to me. Like I don't participate in weird conversations or do subtle digs in general, but just seeing the like Ferrari piles of cash memes that are currently out there. Maybe they're always out there. I'm just like over it. I'm like, oh, it's true. I do need to take a shower after doing Twitter.
Have you found the not for me button? Because that's how I cleaned up my feed. Just every time you see, anytime I see a video now, I say not for me. I could watch the video, but as soon as I'm done watching it, I have to clear it from the screen. I don't want to see it anymore.
Oh, maybe I haven't found that. That's great. Yes. Good. Okay.
Every individual post, the little three dots next to it, you can click on that and say, this is not for me.
I need tips. I need Twitter tips. Amazing.
I'll send you screenshots.
Great. Okay. That's my good, bad, and ugly.
Of course, Twitter's the bad or the ugly. Right where it deserves.
Slime.
Baba, you want to go or you want me to dive into this one?
Yeah, we can. I can go.
All right. Go for it.
Good. Let's see. Let's start. Let's see. Bad. Hold on. Let me think here. So bad was, I think Monday was just a bad day. Monday, I did get a little bit frazzled. I don't remember what the streaming trading was like. I could have been green or red. I don't know. No, I was red. I posted about it. It was either Monday or Tuesday. I posted about it. I don't normally post if I'm green. I'm not going to like post my P&L and be like, well, look how great I am. But if I have a red day, I like to say, hey, I'm red on the day. And, you know, I just want to be like, say that. Right. So I was red on the day. And then later in the day, I came back because there's been a late day trade that's been setting up. That's been pretty clean. Tried to force that. Just made a debacle and felt just really frustrated. Frustrated because I came back to do anything when I could have just been done. And to your point, there's a setup every day. There's probably a setup every couple hours. Just be done. It's being stupid. Let it be stupid, right? Like. So that was the bad or the ugly. It was just stupid, you know. It's probably bad and ugly. It was just like I wasn't trading from that settled, chill spot. I just wasn't.
Those goddamn expectations.
And it wasn't even the expectations. That was the other thing that was even more bad and ugly about it is those I wasn't clinging on to that. No. I just didn't like the fact that it got the best.
Oh, yeah. It was sort of like I'll show you kind of.
Yeah, y'all want to play that game? I got you. No, oh, I'll fire a few more. Don't you worry. You know,
I still got more shots.
And that was off stream. And so someone had mentioned like you're easier to be on your best behavior when you're on stream versus off stream. I would say that's, you know, that was true for that day for sure. the good is I have realized as of late that there are some opportunities in Globex that are just really. They are really clean for my like work and what I do and seem to be really easy to get positioned for. And so I leaned into those this week quite heavily.
Nice.
And traded significantly more contracts, both positionally, like taking larger positions, as well as just total volume of contracts traded between RTH and ETH. Was much more to ETH because it was so much easier for me to get paid.
It's a lot slower too. You don't. Yeah. It should be a lot less volatility.
Yeah, dude. I went to sleep last night or two nights ago with like five contracts still waiting to go to TPs and just like I had stops in profit. So I literally slept like a baby, woke up and I was like, oh, you know, I think four of the five got filled. You know,
that's awesome.
And I'd already taken core off. Yeah. If the market is going to be, if it's going to be a little more awkward for me to get positioned during RTH, I'm just really the good for this week was that I just leaned in where it was easy. And that was pre-market trading and ETH like later in the evening trading.
Yeah.
And, you know, was really came into every RTH day. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with not really needing to do anything, not at all.
It's so great.
And that's why I was able to, you know, oh, give it a shot here, give it a shot there, give it a shot here. Hey, this is still being a dork. And if it's going to keep being a dork, I'm not going to keep, like, we'll just sit and hang out. Anybody got any questions? You want to talk about something? But like,
right. But right. You already made your money.
Yeah, I've made it. And I do feel a little bit awkward if I have, you know, done well outside of RTH and come in to ETH and everybody is, I feel like wants at least, we want to talk about where the market is and stuff. I do feel a little bit awkward when I'm like, well, this is a general opportunity or whatever, but I'm not really like in there digging for trades, but like, it also makes no sense for me to do so. Now I did dig one out today, the trade that I took where Cleo was 5 points better on the entry or whatever. So kudos to her, but you know, I did lean into that one during RTH today, and it was a great finish to the week. But I leaned into it in a way that if I'd have lost it, it would have mattered not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I was able to add as it kind of sort of showed me that it was going to be chill. And so I guess the takeaway is if your normal time frame that you trade is being dumb, you don't have to trade there or trade less there and find the place, if there is one, where it is easy and lean into that when it's available. And that's fine, you know?
And better.
Yeah, which sounds really simple, but apparently.
Well, are we going to start streaming Globex?
Dude, Banks texted me. He was like, dude, you should just do night streams. My God, if we're going to be ripping Globex like we have, let's just stream Globex.
Might as well.
And I was like, well, if I get on, someone in the chat was like, hey, if you're trading Globex, like, holler at me. I'm awake or whatever. I trade.
Good idea.
Yeah, so.
I'm sure someone would. I'll jump on if I'm up.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I should talk about mine then. So my good, and this would be me turning a good into a bad, or taking a bad and making a good out of it. We talked about like some awareness, and like I mentioned, one of the ones with like the point about laser focus and the internal self fighting me on the trying to be more observant. But I also recognized what I'm considering self-sabotage throughout the week. It had been going on, I think, for quite some time, actually, because Baba, you mentioned with 2-year flipper being the point that like stoked like you to action. I had kind of a similar feeling with that. And then listening to you talk about doing the work when you did it, like should have put the fire in me to go and finish some of the work that I've been needing to do. And I just hadn't had the motivation to go and do it. And I finally recognized what was going on there. And I'm pretty sure it's a part of me that doesn't like the riskiness of this job, just trying to get me to blow it out and go find something less risky. I mean, it felt like it was like clear as day when I looked at what I was doing. And on Tuesday, I'm looking over at the fills on the chart and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? This is not how I want to trade. And like, it just clicked. And so like that moment, as soon as I recognized what was going on, this was on Tuesday, I closed the charts up. I went upstairs to my laptop, which is where I do my testing, pulled up a replay chart and then just started going through it. So I still got more work to do. Still got a lot more work to do. But I mean, I started the process and I'm feeling a lot better about it, at least.
That's awesome. Nice.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, like, it's like this weird vicious cycle that I was in. Like, I'm lacking the confidence in what I'm doing because I haven't done the work. But because I don't have that confidence, I don't have the motivation to go do the work to get the confidence that I need. And so instead, you're just in this self-defeating spiral of bad, poor trading.
You know what? We can cut this from the episode, or we can leave it in.
No,
but you, and what I wonder if, like, along the way, I've seen substantial progress in your trading. And I've mentioned,
I can tell you exactly what happened if you'd like.
But I'm just saying, and whenever I've commented on it, I feel like you're like, yeah, I know. Like, not like you don't receive it, but almost like somewhere inside you know that like that's sort of true, but there's maybe like some,
there's other things that I know I could be doing better.
Yeah, or like the awareness that maybe subconsciously you knew this work you needed to go do.
Yep.
And so it made it hard to receive any kind of praise for your journey.
Yeah.
Does that seem right? Like you don't celebrate that easily?
I think it's hard for me to take compliments in general just because I'm not used to getting them. So like anytime someone gives me a compliment for something, I'm just like, what the fuck am I supposed to say? Thank you. I mean, that makes me feel really good. I appreciate it, but I don't know how to respond to that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you is a really
good one.
Response.
Yeah.
So I try to go. I mean, it always feels awkward. Like, am I supposed to do the same now? Is this a reciprocation moment? I don't know how this works.
But is the challenge that you're receiving a compliment, or can you celebrate yourself even if you're not receiving a compliment?
Yeah, I can celebrate myself. I can feel worthy.
Something about someone else acknowledging it has a little wiggly feeling.
It's when it depends on how it's done, I think. Like being done publicly, I think, is always really tough.
Sorry.
It's all right. But I mean, I've never used to be a public person. Oh, thanks, Banks.
Yeah, Banks said something
thanks,
nice.
Banks. That makes me feel really good. I appreciate the compliment. I do want to jump in here on the bad and ugly, which I'm going to list my trading today is bad/ugly because I was not supposed to be trading today. I did have some very favorable results. And I mean, I absolutely sniped the fucking high of day today.
Dude, if I would have traded that with you, I was at a doctor's appointment. That was an absolute smooth operator type entry. And the awareness, I'm sure you took it for similar reasons as what was obviously standing out to me when I look back at it. But I thought to myself, God, I hope everybody jumped on some piece of that. That was absolute textbook.
I just missed a max take on that account by, I think, $300. And the crazy thing, okay, so the reason why I allowed myself to trade those, or why I justified it in my head, was because they were coming up on rebuild date, and both of these two accounts that I traded today were underwater. I blew one out to try and kind of like a one and done kind of trade. Didn't work out.
Sorry, I modeled that. My bad.
I mean, it was getting reset anyway. I didn't really care about that one. The other one was kind of the same thing, but that one was, I mean, it was $300 away from being toasted, and I managed to rescue it. So felt really good about that. But at the same time, I told myself I wanted to collect a set number of trades before I started trading live again, and I didn't do that. So it's really kind of a conflicting thing here. I feel really good about the trade that I executed because it was just, I saw it, I hit it, and took it for basically about as much as I could have expected out of that. But also, I wasn't supposed to be doing it. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. Not sure what to take away from that.
Parts work possibilities here.
Yeah, a little bit of discipline got thrown to the curb. But I think you have to take away the positive.
Yeah.
At least at some point of the trade, that was a good trade.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
You might not should have taken it based on your rules for yourself, but you need to take a screenshot of that joker and put that in the playbook, put it in the playbook, because that's a trade that presents itself more than just, that's not like a once in a lifetime. And that is, that is a setup.
Right. Yep.
So
I like what Banks just said there. Celebrate it, but note it. And that's exactly what I did. Wrote it up as a bad, my good, bad and ugly, but I'm still going to celebrate that win because it still felt pretty good.
I mean, that was a good trade, man.
All right, should we wrap up, do some bold predictions?
Yeah.
All right. I got a really good one here. I'm going to say mine. Does anybody have something they want to share?
I've got one, but you go first, Bob.
Preferably something that wraps up in a couple weeks so we don't have to track more than 20 of these.
Okay, Cleo, don't let this put any pressure on you, okay?
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
But my bold prediction is similar to your bold prediction for me. I have a bold prediction that Cleo is settling into, let's just say, a better stretch of trading than what has been normative. And so I think over the next couple of weeks, she will continue to realize success, not necessarily always winning trades, but settling into the state that she wants to be, and that will inform her ability to execute from like that place. And I think it'll yield good results.
I love that bold prediction. Like that.
That's so my good. Bold prediction. You've said a few things this week that I've been like, oh, okay, Cleo, I see you, man. Or like, you know, or like you posted stuff and I'm just like, oh man, this is a little bit different, but this, I love that. Like I love seeing people win, man. Like, I love seeing people win. And I feel like you have let us be a part of some of these most recent strides that you're making. And that's like, it's awesome.
Thank you.
I'm a fan of it. I'm here for it. And I think in a couple weeks, you're going to look up and be like, wow, this is great.
So the prediction is that Clio has a great stretch of trading, or good stretch of trading, or how do you want to wear
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I don't know how to quantify it. We'll just have to ask her, how was it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think it's more about like the state of trading, and then the results might follow, but like, am I trading? Am I being myself when I'm trading? That's what I want for myself.
Yeah.
Lots of therapists.
Yeah. She actually, did like therapy to me when I said I'm going to need somebody to talk to if I take another stop.
You called me out though. You're like, I need a counseling session with Clio.
I do. I get so jealous. I feel like I kind of got a little bit of that tonight. But I feel when I hear you, these humanity freaking episodes, I'm like, golly, that is so good. It's amazing.
I'll give you some armchair therapy anytime, Baba.
Did you guys see CP's prediction?
What's he saying?
Top Step helps him pay for his next truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will. Top Step's going to have to help pay for my fridge I just had to replace.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was great. That was my Friday, by the way. That's why I had to zip out. My fridge was blowing up in the kitchen.
That sounds like an ugly.
Yeah.
Cleo, you got a prediction for us?
All right. I've got a prediction. It's also about me, though. It's very self-centered. And it's I wanna offer it because it's sort of aspirational and it's bold. So
yeah, let's go.
I am giving a talk, like a 15-minute talk to 150 teenagers in a few weeks at the end of the month about how to have reparative conversations when they're having conflict. And it's going to be like 150 teenagers and maybe 20 or 30 adults. And I have the content of the talk. I'm getting some support with it about like what it needs to be. But my bold prediction is that I'm going to memorize that talk.
Oh, and nice.
And memorizing is a new thing. I've done one memorized talk a few months ago, 12-minute talk, and I was surprised that I could actually do it. And I want to challenge myself to memorize this talk. And I'm not a memorizer, but my prediction is that I'm going to do that. So the summit that I'm speaking at, I think, is on June 29th. So it'll be in a few weeks.
There's no doubt in my mind that you will do that.
Yeah, me neither.
I have some doubts.
I'm running down. Clio gives a speech. Clio gives a speech from memory to horrible teenagers. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's about Kyle. Right. Jeez.
I mean, they're good people, these teens, cuties.
Little cuties.
We'll just say teenagers. All right. Well, I had one, but now after listening to Baba give his prediction, I kind of want to make the prediction that normative is going to get added to the dictionary.
What word?
Normative.
Is that
normative.
Not a word?
Isn't that a word?
I think it is. I've never heard that.
Normative? Sure it is.
I think it is.
Kyle, did you not study SAT words growing up, brother?
It is a word. No, I didn't. I didn't even take the SAT.
You didn't take the SAT?
No, I took the pre-ACT, but I was going to the military, dude.
Oh, my bad. Jeez.
I went to college. Fuck, it is a word.
It's totally a thing. It's a thing.
All right, I'll eat crow on that one. But how about this one? How's this for bold? When Roaring Kitty exercises his options, he's going to buy Citadel. That's my prediction.
Whoa. Yikes, dude. Right? That is bold.
Fucking cool would that be, though?
That would be cool. And then fire. What's his name? What's that guy's name?
Every single one of them.
Yeah. God.
Oh, God. All right. I think that's going to do it for today's episode. Got to say thank you to Clio and Baba Yaga for joining us tonight. Everybody listening who stuck around to the end. Well, if you're listening now, you definitely did stick around to the end. I guess I don't really need that part. Thank everyone who hears this for listening. I'll just go with that. Remember to show our panelists some love. Click on those links in the show notes. Check out that combined Discord. We can trade Friday M periods with us. Maybe even some Globex in the future. Be back soon with another exciting episode. Hopefully less nerve-wracking than a $200 million drawdown on a live stream. But until then, smash that 5-star rating like it's a middle finger at the man and have a great week.
Let's go.
Woo!
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard. So swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.